Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable, the podcast where we answer your veterinary-related questions while having some fun along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice, and if you have any feedback to offer to improve the Veterinary Roundtable, let us know.
Boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop. So, reviews.
We got more.
We're in the 50s.
We are in the
50s. That's only after a week.
That's so rocking exciting. Out.
Yes, I know.
That was a week. Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
That's pretty amazing. Continue. Keep it up, peeps.
Are we going to do you want to read them?
What? Yeah. We definitely need to read them for sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Go for it. You guys.
I'll read the second one.
Okay. I'm a CVT / pre-vet student from Colorado, and I love your podcast. My husband also enjoys listening to it because he likes the medical comments I make while listening. Thanks for educating all and keeping us entertained. At Ray Shaw 88.
Woo-woo!
Okay,
thank you very much. That's awesome.
I also like that your husband supports you. That's pretty cool. Anyway, the next one is the best podcast around. Always love the laughs and the teamwork when it comes to the podcast. You all do such a good job and can tell you're really excited to talk about different things you see on a daily basis. You guys are really the best podcast out. Make sure to take a listen at Jacoby1025. That's my husband!
Are you kidding? No wonder you wanted to read that one. Because...
Thanks, Jacob.
Appreciate it, dude. I love it.
It's Jacob.
That's hilarious.
Because he went on like the actual like Apple podcast. Yes. And then he was like, Harrison needs to change your name, first of all, in the description. And then he was like, how do I leave a review? I was like, I don't know how to work it. And then I guess he figured it out.
Oh my God.
And I saw it on the script yesterday. And I was like,
so hard.
There's no, because those hilarious. Are our lucky numbers. And no, I don't know another Jacob that goes by Jacoby, but it's Jacob. That's He's hilarious. Our biggest fan.
Does he go by Jacoby?
Gosh, Jacob.
People call him Jacoby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad calls him that.
That's too funny. I love it. I'm a Jacob fan, so I like that he is a fan. That
he
is
gets
amazing.
Really excited to watch each
That's
episode.
So funny, Harrison, that you pulled that review. What are the odds of that? So
the hubs.
Yeah. That is terrific. Look at the let's just look at the pattern here. We have two reviews, and the men of the women in veterinary mm-hmm. medicine are out there just supporting their women.
We love mm-hmm. supportive husbands.
Love it. Way to go, men.
Love it.
Way to go. Okay. Let's see here.
Should we say who we are?
Yes. I'm Dr. King.
I'm Courtney Allen.
I'm Devin Fortune.
And this is the Veterinary Roundtable.
And this is the Veterinary Roundtable. That was good. That was good. That kept that from perfect. Being a pause. Devin, you want to update everybody on the changes that they're seeing?
Yes. We went over them last time.
Yes.
But just to refresh, we are going to weekly episodes. So instead of bi-weekly, we are now weekly. So you get to see lots more of us. Mm-hmm. And then guest episodes once a month. So Woo-hoo. That'll be very exciting.
Now, we asked a question the last podcast about what was different.
Yes. If you physically watch the podcast.
Right.
Yes.
If you physically watch the podcast. All right. Who was it that pointed
shout
it out?
Out.
Let's shout out to them.
Virtual high five to Cadence Morissette 5450. Came to watch from Apple Podcasts because I had to see what was new. Love the scrubs.
All right, way to go. Okay, because we were feeling like we were looking a little bit like either ketchup, red peppers.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the person who really likes the red?
I originally voted for black because right. everybody looks good in black. But then when I put these on, I actually do enjoy the red. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I feel very strange.
But it's Duckwell's favorite color, I think. So she was
it's
really
different.
Excited.
It's totally especially different. When you're used to wearing green scrubs for how long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like
especially
we
like
wear blue
all
and gray.
Red. Mm-hmm.
They're very, ours at work are very, I mean, they're not dull, but they're dull compared to
they're
this.
Muted. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still getting used to them.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. Do you think red looks good with the tan? I mean, you're tan. So red looks good with the tan.
Thanks. I haven't been to spring break yet. Wait till next
week.
Oh,
shush. Yeah. Wore it like last month.
You're always tan. You never pale because you're always somewhere. Okay. Really, and I don't
I feel
tan.
Like we should do a fashion walk. Like,
I'm the,
with I'm our
red,
scrubs.
Yeah. We can't do a red carpet though because that's too much.
Is that how you do a red carpet walk?
I have some critiques.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not that
we'll
good at it.
We'll work on that.
Clearly.
Stay tuned.
Yes. I love them.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys.
And they just feel comfier than our other scrubs. Yeah, even though they're the same exact brand.
They're new.
They're brand spanking
they're
new.
They
smell new.
They do feel really new.
The knees are intact still.
Yes.
Okay. So what else? Oh, Harrison has added an inquiry from the last episode.
Inquiry.
I knew that was coming.
Did you really? I forgot about that we went through this last time. Inquiry from @freddystory.vet. Hi, I'm a vet tech here in Texas. I was listening to y'all talk about the struggle of getting the cats to vomit. One thing I've seen working is pushing cefazolin to induce them to vomit. Would love to hear your thoughts on the next podcast. Just some food for thought. Love listening to the pod.
Side note, I love when people call us the pod. I think it's so cute.
The pod.
We're a pod. We're a little pod.
We're peas in a pod.
Yep. That's awesome. Okay. What do you guys think? I've never done it.
This is my first time hearing of it.
Me too.
Agreed. I've never.
It's the first time of me hearing of it. The only thing I could think of is, do you think he's thinking about dextomidine? Like giving something, like maybe just...
We talked about that.
I'm thinking, because isn't cefazolin an antibiotic?
Is it cefazolin or cefazolin?
I was going to say cefazolin until you said cefazolin.
Inquiry. I don't know now. I can't say cefazolin.
But isn't it's an antibiotic?
Yes, it's an antibiotic.
So I was thinking, I don't know, antibiotics can cause GI upset. I don't know, like, if they keep the cat on an empty stomach, give it that, try to irritate the stomach to get it to throw up. But
I tried to see if I could find anything on it on our information network on VIN. Yeah. I couldn't find anything.
I've never heard of it before.
So there might be, you know, I need to know more about this, Freddie.
Yeah. Can you let us know more if you've used
it? The dose, how you give it, what you said, IV, and how long does it take before it works?
Do you still have to spin them in a chair?
I don't know. Hopefully not.
Hopefully it's very interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist or people don't do it. I just, because we use a lot of drugs off label. Yes. I've just never had any experience with it.
If you had more information, would you be open to trying it?
Oh, yeah. Because
if it works,
it wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's we use it for surgical. It's an antibiotic that we use during surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So we use it all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm. Safe.
For different procedures, procedures that are longer than 2 hours.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Side note related to vomiting. We had a dog come in today who potentially ate a cat toy. So we induced vomiting.
Oh, tell me, because I had to leave before the...
It didn't eat the toy. But I don't know what it is about the apomorphine recently. I don't know if we got a new bottle or something, but it is intense. Like, dogs don't stop vomiting.
What?
Like, usually you know how it's like 3 or 4 times and they're done. Yeah. They just keep going. So we give Serenia. She's good.
She's
good. We took an x-ray. She's all
good. No cat toy.
But anyway, we had a client, apparently, one of the techs was talking about it, who was giving hydrogen peroxide at home to induce vomiting because they couldn't afford to bring the dog in.
Yes.
And the hydrogen peroxide was not working. So we told them to drive around a roundabout multiple times.
Oh, my goodness.
With the dog in the car.
That would make me throw up.
Yeah, I know. I was like, did you simultaneously vomit with your dog? Because I would.
Did it work on the dog, though?
I don't know.
I don't think that would work only if they were motion sick.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was something.
Harrison's dog he found rabbits in the yard, baby rabbits with no fur on them, moosed the dachshund, and
of course
ate a whole, didn't even chew it up, ate a whole.
Yum.
Oh my God.
And then I told him to give him hydrogen peroxide because it was on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And he did give it. And then Moose, did he vomit? He did vomit, and then he vomited at some other point, which they didn't know, because on Tuesday, in his crate, they pulled out his crate. On Tuesday, Harrison finds a dry chunk of vomit with part of the rabbit.
That's disgusting.
And he was like, did this just happen? I was like, that probably happened on Sunday when you gave him hydrogen peroxide. You just didn't know that he vomited.
That's horrific. Oh, hydrogen peroxide is a beautiful thing when it works.
You just can't overuse it because... It can cause problems.
I've done it just a few times, but now we can't do it anymore because Miles knows the second we like try to back him into a corner, he loses
it.
He gets apo.
But yep.
I don't need to worry about Mitzi getting anything.
Mitzi just exists. Okay.
Okay. What is the funniest thing you've seen an animal do at the clinic at K_Blue2?
Probably one of my favorite things is that when a patient has been sedated and is waking up from sedation or anesthesia,
you don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, that's funny. But when we put them in a run, if they're a bigger dog and their lip gets stuck on,
oh my God, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It really makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And dog scooting really gets to me too.
Oh.
I think it's so funny. I just think it's hilarious.
Dude, it's too.
I don't know.
I was going to say the thing about the glass runs too, where they shove their noses and sit in there.
It's a good one.
Holding themselves up by their nose and their lip.
I have so many pictures of different dogs doing it, even Miles.
Yeah. It is kind of funny.
I was going to say the waking up, like the.
Or where they like write themselves really fast.
Yeah. Anything sedation or anesthesia related.
Let's see. What are some other funny things?
Pugs during nail treatment.
What did you say?
Pugs during nail trims. Pugs, their scream, the pug scream is the best.
Yeah.
That or also the really other thing, gets me.
When a dog, there are some dogs that smile at you. They're not mad, mm-hmm. but they're like.
That's really cute. Yeah. I love it.
My parents' dog does that. Only
it
when
freaks
she sees
you out
me.
At first we until you know they do
that
it.
Smile.
Yes.
So cute. I think Millie.
Athena.
And Millie, mm-hmm. maybe?
It's so cute.
Because they just get so excited.
They're so happy. I know.
There's tons of things.
Dogs are,
they sit with their legs
are just
like
amazing.
This.
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
They're just
I
great.
Had a dog loaf once.
Yeah.
You know what loafing is, right?
No.
Like when a cat loafs, they tuck their...
Oh,
they look like
there.
They don't have legs.
Oh, they do.
Called loafing.
I had a
fun
Bernese
fact.
Mountain Dog do it in the room once. It was pretty cute.
Oh,
animals cute. Are just amazing. They're great.
You don't know what loafing is?
No.
Also, shout out. I got my slippers.
Oh, I forgot to mention that.
They're cat paws.
I think
tell.
Those are adorable.
Thanks.
Very cute. Very cute.
Very warm.
Okay. On to the next one. Courtney,
do
you got one?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm a veterinary assistant and want to go to school to be a vet tech. What's a good school?
Well, where are you based?
At Ruled.
Oh, sorry. My bad. At Ruled by Jupiter. At Ruled underscore by underscore Jupiter.
Okay.
Well, yes. I'm wondering where he or she is based. Like, where do they live? You know, because that matters.
Well, why don't you tell them what you're doing?
Well, I am a veterinarian assistant and I am in school to be a vet tech. And I go to Penn Foster. I don't go. It's an online school. I had a lot of options when I started school. There are a few schools around in our area that I almost went to, but I was already working at All-Star and it was a perfect opportunity. So I'm doing online. And it's called Penn Foster. It's at your own pace. It's between like 3 to 6 years, estimated completion time, but there are also a few schools in the area. That are like 18-month accelerated programs, but I'm doing online.
And you can work and do school at the same time.
It's working a lot, really well for me.
Yeah.
And so there's International Business College.
Mm-hmm. Which I went to.
Then there are universities that have veterinary technology programs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know Purdue also has an online.
Yep.
Purdue yeah, I looked into that.
Yeah.
But I thoroughly enjoyed because I did the 18-month accelerated program.
Yeah.
I liked it. And the reason being I liked it is because, like, Purdue is a great school because I looked into it. But I liked IBC for the fact of the classes are smaller than Purdue. So your professor or your teacher knows you, like, mm-hmm. personally, which I thought was really cool. And you get really, really close with your classmates. Not saying you can't do that at Purdue, but, like, you know everybody. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. And there's a big difference between Purdue and IBC because IBC, the way I learned how to do nail trims is I cut a singular cat nail. And, like, Purdue, I mean, you get to practice a lot more. They actually have an animal hospital. We had animals in school, too. But it's just faster. It's harder. You don't really get breaks. Like, my summer break was like a week, if that.
Right.
You don't. But I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. And I could just commute. I didn't have to pay room and board.
Yeah.
And I still got to work. So
yeah.
I almost went there. It was a good school. Like I said, I already worked at All-Star and I didn't want to. I don't know. It just worked out better for me.
I haven't heard many bad things about any vet tech programs.
Yeah.
Right. I think that. Yeah. I mean.
Kind of just depends what you want.
Right.
What experience you want. Like, if you want the full-on college experience, go to Purdue or...
Or a veterinary school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's not... Like, I think Michigan State has one. Purdue has one. I don't know the ones in the South. Yeah. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
No.
Which schools have them?
No.
But you can easily look that up and find out. Or online or local business college. Yeah. So, okay, cool. If a listener, do you want to tell them that part? Devin?
Sure. If a listener wants us to answer one of their icebreaker questions, DM the All-Star Veterinary Clinic social media accounts or email harrison@kingmediamarketing.com.
We'd love to answer your icebreakers.
Yes
that'd
please.
Be fun.
Yeah, those
They're
are
fun.
Cool. Shoot them our way.
Yes, please.
Okay, so how's your guys' week going so far? It's a Thursday.
It's actually pretty good.
Well. Yeah.
I start pet sitting tomorrow. Three cats.
Same. Not three cats, but a cat.
Yeah. That means I just have to go before work.
No, that's what I was going to say. Do you guys like pet sitting?
Yeah. I don't stay in others' homes, though. I just prefer cats.
Pop in
so
and
I
pop
can,
out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do both. I like pet sitting.
yeah, it's nice.
It's really, the one thing I really, really like is when it's like my patient like at work and mm-hmm. it's like a dog or something. It's cool to see them in their own environment. That's like one of my favorite things is like seeing like their actual personality rather than being scared of me.
Now, I think clients really like it because when they know that it's somebody from the clinic doing their sitting, you know, or their pet sitting, for sure. I think they really dig it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So that's really cool. You guys do that.
Yeah. I enjoy it. I mean, it's pretty easy. And some extra cash. And you get to love on other dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And cats. Why not?
Okay, good. Yeah. So you guys are busy pet sitting. Work has been not too bad.
It's just been another week, really.
It's another week.
It really
week.
Hasn't been that bad, actually. No.
The weather's warming up.
It is. I'm ready for out like today. Warm weather to stay. Not too hot, though. I don't like hot.
I like this, what it is today.
I like
I think it's too cold.
I think 70, 75 is like my perfect.
Yeah, me too.
This is a little chilly.
This is my perfect. Like I was,
I want to be able to lay outside.
I went
if
to the store in shorts.
I feel like I'd be cold right now if I laid outside. Unless
I
was bundled
up. I don't want
the
breeze to be cold. I want it to be hot.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else?
Yeah. How's your week been?
My week's been good. You know, we just started homeschooling Calvin.
Really?
2 weeks ago at the end of the quarter.
Fun.
Yeah. So
how's that going?
It's good. It's going well.
Good.
It's a lot of work, but we've done it with the other boys, and he was just struggling in keeping up and trying to like perform like up to par. And so we were like, you know what? This is stupid. Let's just pull him. And he's a sixth grader.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Sounds I didn't like know you guys are both enjoying it.
Yeah. I love it. I teach math.
Yeah. Wow. I hate math.
Yep. Math.
Yeah. She tried to quiz me on math the other day and I was like, I don't have the energy
for
this. It was a very easy question, but I literally had a nail stuck in my eye from doing a nail trim.
Right. I know,
so I had just like gone through that. I literally had pulse stain my eye to make sure there wasn't a scratch. It was painful. And then she tried to ask me this math question. I'm like, please just give me the answer. I need the dose.
My eye is throbbing. I can't think straight.
It was bad.
That sounds painful.
She was
happened to me.
I have a 93-pound dog. It needs Adequan. What is the dose? And I was like, it's 50. It's 1 mil per 50 pounds. And she was like, I.
Literally.
And I was like, well, if it was 100 pounds, how much would you? My eye hurts. I don't know. And I was like, okay, take 93 and divide it by 50.
And I was like, I'll figure it out. And I walked away.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious. Yeah, that's the worst.
And then I wrote down the dose in my notebook after that.
Oh gosh, that's
the future.
Funny. Yeah, I love doing math. So math is what I was doing. Math is my job.
How much homeschooling would you say you do a week?
It's about 4 hours a day.
Okay.
So not too bad. I mean, it's really nice because then he has more free time and can do, you know, he's not stressed. The school that we lived or sent him to, we lived further away from it. So he wouldn't get home until 4. And then if he had an activity to go back to, he had to hurry and get his work done like in an hour and a half. And
that's
who wants
stressful.
To do that after being sitting in a classroom for 8 hours?
Yeah.
And so,
awesome.
So it's going great.
Good.
That's awesome. I asked him the other day, I was like, how much better do you feel about math? Because I'm teaching it. No, I mean, I wasn't saying
you're a great teacher.
I was saying, how much better do you feel about math doing math this way? Because he's not a problem child. So he just sits in class and nobody knows that he's not listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then he doesn't get what they're teaching.
Right.
And then comes home and Richie's like, why don't you know how to do this? And so it's because he's not really listening. He's staring at you, but he's not really listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I know so much already. And it's only been 2 weeks.
That's awesome. That's very rewarding.
So yeah, I was like, okay,
your kids succeed.
Yeah, I was like, this definitely is the right thing.
That's awesome. So, way to go.
Thanks, man.
Good job, mom.
Okay, so that was my week for the past 2 weeks.
We also have a new little segment here on the pod.
Yeah, that was your idea.
We're gonna talk about our pits and our peaks of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll go first.
Yeah, okay. That sounds great.
Oh, dang it. I had it. Oh, my pit was I have a pet sitting client and they're very, very long term clients of mine.
Yes.
And he texted me on Tuesday morning and let me know that one of his kiddos passed. He has a white boxer named Sarge. And he was interesting. He had the oddest personality I've ever seen on a dog, but he was just like a sweetheart. He just like stood and just took everything in.
Oh,
so that was kind of sad. Yeah. That wasn't the best thing to wake up to. But my peak was that I've worked out 3 times this week.
Nice.
Okay.
And I call that an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Way to go. That's hard to like have time.
Well, yeah,
because
that's what like, I'm like, I could go in the mornings at like 4:30 a.m., but I feel like I just can't. Like I tried that and it didn't work.
No.
But then I get home at 6:30 or 7 at night And then I have to take care of my dog. I have to cook dinner.
And then you have to wake up at 5 the next
morning. Wind down my set leg.
Yeah.
But it's been good.
Good for you.
I did it.
Yeah.
Good.
That's awesome. What about you?
Why don't you go? I am still trying to gauge how personal I'm going to get. Yeah.
Okay. So my peak, my pit.
Your pit is the bad part.
Yeah. My pit. I don't know if I really have any pit. Oh, sweet.
Just something that was like meh. Mm-hmm. Could have been better. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be like sad.
The weather.
Okay. It's the weather this week.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. That can be a pit.
Okay. My peak was seeing two of my associate veterinarians stretched, but not stretched so far out of their gift zone. Mm-hmm. So they were stretched, but still stretched within their gift zone, mm-hmm. not into the harmful zone.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, and this was going to be the case I was going to talk about, but they were responsible for doing, they're some of the more younger veterinarians that are at the clinic. And they had a surgical case that they had to take care of. And it was just the two of them. And they did a great job.
Hmm.
And so it was like, all right, awesome. Way to go, guys.
Who, proud moment. I guess.
It was Smokey and Ham.
The surgery?
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. I have no idea you're talking about.
Like stretched just enough. Like they are a little bit better at their job now. But
yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
No idea.
Not to the point of failure. About. Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. My pit, I guess. I went to PetSmart today, and I always do this to myself. I wanted to get cat food, and then I look at all the sad cats, and it's just sad. Like they all want homes, and I was looking at this one, and I'm gonna go off on a little tangent, but it's this 5-year-old Persian domestic short hair mix, orange and female. And it was just really interesting.
Like that's a weird combination.
That is very weird.
Let alone an orange female and an orange Persian. Yeah. It was, and she was so sweet. I took a picture.
Oh, let me see.
I bet she's going to have some health issues.
And it looks like she just got, she's cute. She looks like Garfield and the Grinch. Doesn't she? Can you zoom in?
Oh my gosh.
Got a funny look.
Isn't she so cute though?
What's her story?
I mean, there isn't much of a story behind her.
There's she wasn't
just a like she just needs a home. It didn't say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she was sleeping and I really wanted to just see her face, so of course I woke her up.
Wake!
I was nice about it. I just tickled her tail and then she rolled over on her back and like went like this and showed me her belly and I gave her belly rubs.
There
and then
go.
She went back to bed, so I didn't disturb her terribly. Aww. But she was really cute.
So yeah. Was that a pit or a peak?
Probably a pit because then
you couldn't take her home.
Came up and asked if I was interested in adopting, and I'm like, yes, but I can't.
Yeah.
And I just always want to take all those kittens and cats. And then there was a little gray kitten that was screaming at me and like reaching through the cage and.
They're so needy, isn't it? No, funny? It's just like all they want is food.
Yeah.
Food, 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 food.
And then there's a sign that says like keep dogs away from cages, and this person is bringing their giant German Shepherd by and it's barking and I'm like, please exit.
This
I didn't
area.
Say that, but like yeah. There's literally a sign. My peak, I would say, well, the weather today, I love. So that might
and
be
you didn't
pit,
have a scratch on your cornea.
That's fair.
That's a good peak.
So while the weather is your pit, it's my peak.
Okay.
And then I had a beautiful blood draw on a cat on like earlier this week. It was
woo!
Clean stick, and I'm just still boasting about it, as you can tell.
Those are hard.
Yeah.
It's always you so know, sad.
Blood draws on cats in general are not easy.
The way some of the techs got good at it when the clinic was just starting is we worked with a rescue, Heart for the Love of Heart. I can't remember the name of it. And it was all cats.
Mm-hmm.
We had to draw feline leukemia tests on all these kittens and all these cats over and over. Like, not the same cats,
yeah.
but like,
no, yeah.
you know, as they're going through the system. And they got so good at drawing blood on cats because you just did, you know, 25 a week, you know, kind of
like
a thing.
Like a little chain.
But it is. It's just all about practice. So good job.
Thanks.
Good job. I, going off of that, would love to invent a test for FIV, FELV that did not require blood.
Amen.
That would be so amazing, especially on the like little baby kittens that come in. That it's
sounds
like saliva because they're like,
that's what I was going to say.
It literally sounds like
you just like hold it up there and they spit on you.
Right. I've always said that. I was like, why can't it be saliva?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you're murdering them when you try to draw blood on a little 1-pound baby kitten.
It's so high pitched.
It's not easy.
Sad.
And they're like, oh, I wonder why they hate us.
I would say, though, the blood draw on cats has gotten way better since you guys have done since you've been willing to shave, if necessary, use lidocaine cream.
Lidocaine cream is a game changer.
Light and lighting, some dogs, having the proper lighting.
Yes.
All those things have really made a huge difference.
Oh, I agree for sure. Mm-hmm. If you don't have lidocaine cream in your vet clinic, get some.
Get some. Mm-hmm.
Because it truly is, like, it makes the biggest difference in some patients. Some animals don't care about it, but it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, you're free.
Okay. Cuckoo. Cases. What do you guys got this week for cases?
You go first.
Yeah, mine's quick. It's actually just an update about Jeter, who is golden I talked about. I think, did I do that last week? Or was it the week before? I don't know. Anyway, it was recent. He was the golden that I accidentally found that lung mass in, or chest mass.
Oh, that's right.
When we were taking those four limb rads.
I think it was.
Yeah.
So he did have his consultation with the oncologist, and they did further testing, and they most likely suspect that it is a histiocytic sarcoma, and it is in his lung, which he had three masses there, and one of them was pretty large. It's in his liver, it's in his spleen, and it's also in his kidneys.
Dude.
It's pretty advanced, unfortunately. Like we said last podcast, they cannot do surgery, but they are going to start chemo. So I'm almost positive he had his first treatment this past Monday. So they're doing doxorubicin and then CCNU.
Huh. Okay.
And then they started like Pred, Metro, Serenia, all that kind of stuff, just to help with the symptoms of the chemo.
Right.
To not make him feel as sick. But they're doing that. So we'll see how it goes. But that's they unfortunately gave him, I think, 6 months.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not a very good
So the
good
chemo,
prognosis.
Obviously, there's no cure whatsoever for the cancer. But the chemo will help slow down the progression of the cancer and the spread of it. So hopefully give him the last few good months with his owners, and because that's a lot to digest all at once. So hopefully it'll give him a little bit more time, make him a little more comfy. Yeah. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I can go. Mine's a little long. So it's one of my pets. I know I've used a couple of my pets on here, but this is a different one.
How many
one.
Animals does Devin have?
I know. I was like,
I have
wow.
so many options.
Okay.
But he is a 10-year-old orange domestic short hair.
Okay.
And he presented for having a hard time eating and some vomiting. When he was a kitten, he actually had to have all of his premolars and molars removed because he was allergic to his own saliva. I don't know if there's a technical
stomatitis?
Term.
Stomatitis? Do you have stomatitis?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was too young to know.
Yes. Okay.
So he has gotten by with just his canines and incisors his whole life. But he, for probably like, it was like a day. It went on for a day. He would start to eat his food, so he still had his appetite, but then after a few bites would start to paw at his mouth and the food would fall out. So me being me, I looked at his mouth, and above his upper canines, the gingiva was definitely irritated. And then he did start to vomit a little bit, but it tended to be like before his meal time, like after he had been so hungry for so long. It wasn't like he ate and then threw it up. So I wasn't worried about an obstruction, but it went on for like a day, like I said, and then the next day I went into work, and I get to work before my mom leaves for work, and she texted me and was like, Sid's still in bed. He hasn't even gotten out to eat, which is really unlike him. I mean, he's an orange cat. They're waking us up telling us it's time to be fed. So that was concerning, and I was like, you know what, bring him in on your way into work. So she dropped him off, and then Dr. Jones evaluated him, and she definitely agreed that his mouth was a little bit irritated, and luckily we had an opening or like room for another surgery that day. He had mild dental disease, like maybe grade one, so it wouldn't hurt him to have a procedure, but it wasn't necessary. But I was like, whatever, go ahead. We did full mouth x-rays, and she did notice some resorption of both upper canines. One was worse than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So one definitely needed removed, and she said the other one would probably need extracted like within the next year or whatever. So I was like, just do both. I mean, he'll still be able to eat. He's gotten by with barely any teeth this far anyway.
Sure.
So we extracted both, and then uneventful recovery. I took him home that night, offered him wet food, which they don't really eat wet food, so he didn't eat it because he was just confused. And then I offer him his kibble, and he ate it right up.
Okay.
Like his old normal self. And he's been eating fine since then. No more vomiting. So, yeah.
You said.
Now I just have a little bag of his upper canines in my room that I can't throw away, but I don't know what to do with.
Yes. So they can have. So he was little. He probably had stomatitis listening to what you were talking about, just because they are allergic to the tooth roots. Mm-hmm. So that, or some, not they, some cats can be allergic to the tooth roots. Mm-hmm. And so then they get really severe reddening with their gums. Mm-hmm. And then it can be exacerbated by bacteria, whatever. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the only way to fix it is to extract the tooth, because mm-hmm. it's the root that they're allergic to. So you remove them, and then they are significantly more comfortable and mm-hmm. can live, like you're mentioning, their whole life without having an issue.
Now he just has his incisors and his bottom canines.
Yeah.
The animals adapt like no other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Very cool. Very cool. Another cool Devin pet case.
We don't. I have.
What? Who should you talk about next week?
I know.
I have a bag. No, I'm kidding. We haven't done the bag in a while, also.
We're going to have to remember the bag.
I thought about that today on the way here. I was like, ooh, I think I volunteered and I never did.
Okay, well, next week, the bag.
Someone.
The bag needs to come out.
We'll surprise Duckwall because she isn't here and she doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we ever acknowledged that. She's not here.
Oh, yeah. Ashlyn Duckwall's not in the building today.
Yes, she will be back next Thursday. She'll be back.
There's only three of us.
Okay, my case is a 9-month-old mixed pity, basically pity mix.
Yeah.
And so he's 9 months old. He came in for Yeah, you know,
I got it now.
9 month old, not eating, not feeling well, regurgitating water. Was started to feel poorly on Saturday, mm-hmm. I believe was the mm-hmm. case. Ham saw it Tuesday. Yeah, it was
Tuesday. Yes, because he came when I wasn't there.
Yeah, so Tuesday morning, Ham saw it, or afternoon Ham saw it. And I mean, just in the exam room, just to give people a little bit of, you know, information, whenever you see a dog in an exam room and they're not comfortable. So like if you see a dog who sits down, gets up, walks, sit down, get up, walk, or they do that play bowing when they're stretching. So they are actually stretching their abdomens. And so that's usually an indication that their abdominal cavity is uncomfortable. Doesn't always mean that they have foreign material. It could mean they have foreign material, pancreatitis, gastroenteritis, and it can sometimes mimic back pain. So anyway, mm-hmm. but they act very strange in the room. This dog also was regurgitating water, so he could not keep anything down, mm-hmm. and then was extremely depressed. Mm-hmm. So Ham, after taking the history and doing the physical exam, took radiographs on him, and he did have a suspicious foreign body pattern, gas pattern in his GI tract. So he had a lot of dilated bowel loops involving the proximal duodenum. And then he did have a soft tissue opacity involving his pylorus. And he was so miserable. This dog was really uncomfortable, such that... And I should also mention another thing to keep in mind is that pyloric obstructions, the dogs feel like crap. Mm-hmm. So like if they have an intestinal obstruction, but their pylorus is not obstructed, they'll a lot of times still act normal. Mm-hmm. They may not be eating, but they act normal. They don't, you wouldn't physically by looking at them tell that they're sick. But a pyloric obstruction, they feel like crap. Like they don't want to get up. They don't want to eat. They just feel really bad. Mm-hmm. So once we saw the x-ray, and then you also have the dog, it's like you have those two pieces of information. It's like, all right, the dog needs to go to surgery. And so they took him to surgery that night. And so they stayed after work to do surgery on him because that was in the best interest of the pet. And he had a gastric foreign body that was made up of cloth or fabric, had a lot of straw and debris, and then it was running through the pylorus into the small intestine all the way to the mid-jejunum, but about right past the duodenum, he had a foreign body that was almost perforated his mm-hmm. intestine.
I saw it. It was literally like you just see intestine like it comes through a little point.
Came to a point. Yeah. It almost had perforated through. And we think that was like just a stick, actually, that it just turned. Mm. It had just been gotten in the wrong way, basically. Mm-hmm. And it was pointy and just ended up like almost perforating the small intestine. So they ended up doing a gastrotomy. And we always typically will start with a gastrotomy first because if you have a linear foreign body, you can't pull everything back up through the stomach because you just bunch everything up on itself. And with small linear foreign bodies, you have a chance of basically eviscerating the small intestine. So like you slice right through it. Mm-hmm. So like if you had something like dental floss that's really sharp, it's going to just slice through the tissue as it gets pulled tighter and tighter. Mm-hmm. So we really don't like to pull them back out unless you can milk it kind of back mm-hmm. out. So we'll go do the gastrotomy first, and then we cut the tension off, remove what's in the stomach, mm-hmm. and then it'll all feed back into the small intestine. Then you have to go into the small intestine and remove it from the small intestine as well. This dog, because of the perforation or the almost perforated wall. And then the necrosis or the tissue was turning black around that area. They did an anastomosis. So they cut the dead tissue out and then had to hook the two pieces of intestine back together. Then they could not milk the foreign body from, it was still all the way down again to mid-jejunum. They couldn't get it from mid-jejunum back up to the anastomosis site. And so they had to do an enterotomy, a plain enterotomy site as well. I think two other enterotomy
They did
sites.
Two enterotomies.
Yeah.
That's so intense.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
That is an intense foreign body surgery.
Yeah. Wow. And everything went great. Enterotomies are very straightforward because you are just making an incision into the intestine and then sewing it back up. Mm-hmm. So very straightforward. Anastomosis is you're taking two ends of intestine and hooking them back together. And clearly the most important thing is it doesn't fall apart or it doesn't leak. Mm-hmm. So that's always where you're worried.
That's the scary part mm-hmm. is that if there's a leak.
You know, but there's some really good techniques on how to do it. Mm-hmm. And they did a great job. And the enterotomies went well. The gastrotomy went well. He's doing great. He went home today.
Good. He sure did.
He ate the next day.
Okay.
And yeah, went home today.
He was a little irpy yesterday. He reemerged a few times, which is why we kept him an extra day. But he was happy boy this morning.
Yeah.
He ate and he was jumping on all of us. And
you know, one of the questions we always get from owners a lot of times is like, did they learn their lesson?
Nope. I can attest to that. My dog's never been cut, but he's vomited a lot.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's like,
and poops out stuff and they don't learn.
And the adhesions, you know, I mean, they
have so much on his body.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you end up with things that, you know, you can't only do this so many times, you know, to a patient's intestinal tract.
Yeah.
And so we really do have to be vigilant to make sure he doesn't eat.
We had a cat that
other things.
I think he kept eating headphones. He had three foreign bodies and we told the owner that three strikes, he's out. He can't have another one. Cause like you said, he just,
We had a dog that like kept eating Binkies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Pacifiers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Quick PSA in regards to linear foreign bodies and things like that. Don't give your dog rope toys.
Yeah.
Please. They're very, very bad.
Yeah.
They get the intestines.
They pull them apart.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So.
He ate a rope toy.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
God, dog it.
Yeah. They're fun toys, but they're dangerous.
Yeah. Especially if you have a dog with a mouth like that, that is a vigorous chewer.
Yes.
You know, yes. I mean, they're going to destroy that.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's easy.
They'll get through
too.
That.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so easy.
It's crazy.
It was a rope toy.
No rope toys.
No rope toys.
Bad for the stomach.
All right. Great cases. Good job, guys. Okay. Listener questions.
Okay.
Who wants to read it?
I can. I'll do it. Hey, I was wondering if you would be able to help me with a question I had. I am an aspiring vet student and I was accepted into the University of Illinois for my undergraduate this coming fall. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
I was weighing my options for a summer job and wanted an opinion of someone who may have gone through this already. I am between working at a clinic and working at a restaurant as a server where I could make a lot of money for college. Would it be better to make a financial decision or make a decision that would better my chances of getting into a vet school later on by having hours under my belt? Any advice you can give me will be greatly appreciated. Love the TikToks you post. At Abby Hurst 25.
Okay. Great question.
Well, that's exciting. So she's working at a clinic and she's working at a restaurant.
Well, she's wanting to know.
She's between the two.
Yes. I think it's always good to have experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends. Are you getting paid at both? Or will you be paid at one or the other? Because that's also a big factor.
I think she would be paid at both. I think one, you would be paid a lot more money where I could make a lot.
Yeah, like restaurants, you get tips.
That's true.
I am between working at a clinic. So I don't know if she is working currently at the clinic or not.
Right.
I mean, it's not. I would still say work at the clinic. I know it's not as crucial since she's already like secured like her. She's already been accepted into the university. But I still think, you know, get as much knowledge as you can before.
Because
I did like J. Everett Light and I did an array of science and anatomy classes before starting school. And it has set me up tremendously.
I agree. I worked at All Star before I went to college and it did wonders. I knew a lot going into school and that was really cool.
Because I'm older than you guys,
you have more knowledge.
I know that's not true.
It's true.
Anytime I was talking to Harrison about this question, and anytime I see somebody ask an or question, so am I better off working at the clinic or working at a restaurant?
Why not both?
Bingo. Work exactly. At a restaurant on the weekends or whatever.
Yes.
Make those weekend tips.
Part-time for both.
Yes, because any question, any decision like that, there's hardly ever a situation where it has to be an or, this or that. Typically, you're going to be better served if you can figure out an and. Mm-hmm. So my thought was, can you work at the restaurant when it is the most lucrative? So Fridays and Saturdays, where you can make lots of good tips on Fridays and Saturdays. Then you take Sunday off. Then Monday, you
start
work
all over again
at a clinic, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever, or just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Or you could switch it and you could work where, like, especially if you're looking for, like, to be paid more to work at a clinic than maybe working at an emergency clinic. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, so then you might work at an emergency clinic on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where they have a hard time finding people to work. And so you'd probably be paid a higher wage. Then do the restaurant on a different day. You know, like maybe you do mornings or you do afternoons or you do evenings or whatever it is. So I think you could actually do both. I definitely think that if you can know information prior to learning information, it'll be much easier to digest the information and to get the intricate parts of the information. So if you're not focused on learning, like I was, what a ruminant is, and you already know what a ruminant is, now you can focus on
the next
part of the information, then you're going to be much further along and it's much easier to digest the information.
And it's easier to apply things you learn to your job or vice versa. Yeah.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, that makes sense as to what, and it like it all like just, it's a huge puzzle
piece together.
Yes.
And you're like, wow.
I still don't know how I made it through vet school, never having worked in a small animal practice.
Where'd you work?
I do not know. I worked, what did I do?
The zoo.
Hello. I worked at the zoo.
You did the zoo before you went for small animal, right?
And in vet school, we didn't work. We were in school every day, all day. In the summer, we worked, but I worked basketball camps in the summer. Right. And then I never worked in a small animal practice. And it would have been a lot easier to learn the information had I done that.
Yeah, it's easy to read a textbook and take tests, but like applying it in the real world is very different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is like a whole different ballgame. Yeah, and when I was in school, I mean, I wasn't a vet student. I was a vet tech student. Unfortunately, like I said previously, I went to IBC, which was very fast paced. It was pretty much like a high school schedule. And so I was at school all day. And then when I would get done with school, some of my classes ran until 4:30. It was 30 to 45 minutes away from the clinic. So by the time I got there, it was 5:15. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have me work 45 minutes because the clinic closes at 6.
Right. Yeah.
So what I did is I worked at a boarding facility. That's still animal experience.
Still animal experience.
I mean, it's not, you're not learning like the knowledge like you would in a vet clinic, but there's that too.
Yeah.
If the vet clinic, if their hours aren't flexible or like, I don't know. I've always worked in animal stuff, so.
For sure.
But that was cool too, getting that kind of experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Very cool. That's a great question, Abby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Hooray, fighting Illini.
Of course, whatever is best for yourself, but.
That's exciting. Starting school in the fall.
Yes. Congratulations.
It's going to be very exciting. It's going to go by fast. What did you say?
What's their mascot? Do you know?
Fighting Illini.
Huh?
Fighting Illini.
Illini?
Fighting Illini. Illini.
I need to see
Illini.
It right
now. Fighting Illini. Harrison, I don't have my phone.
Fighting
Illini. It's like they're an Indian, one right? Word or? Fighting Illini or an Indian mascot.
I got it.
You got it?
I got it.
Show us a picture.
Can we put it up on the screen, please? That'd be so nice if we could just like
pop it up there. You could actually probably screen share.
This one says bird. It says fighting Illini at the bottom.
Let's say University of Illinois.
It says
like
bird.
Vet school.
Oh.
University of Illinois.
Oh, wait. Oh. What?
Yes. See?
That
fighting Illini.
It's an Indian.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, mom's from Illinois.
Okay, I was gonna say, hit us back. We're gonna have to know.
Can you comment a picture of what your mascot is at your future vet school?
I was gonna say like go whatever, but I can't say
Illini.
Go fighting Illini.
Yes, you can.
Okay,
it's like fighting Irish.
Okay, then go fight.
Go fighting Illini. I don't know their song. I don't know that.
I don't know.
I'm disappointed.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week on another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable.
Bye bye. Oh.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Remember, send in those questions and leave us a review if you've enjoyed this episode or a previous one. We'll see you next week for another episode.
Oh, yeah. Send us icebreakers, please.
Of the Veterinary Roundtable.
Bye-bye.